We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you. This half hour of the show, we'll be talking about matzah, believe it or not, because it's Pesach is next week, and people eat matzah, and so we'll be talking with matzah.biz's Yossi Frimmerman, and talking about the specialness of a special type of matzah known as shmura matzah, which is like this super primo artisanal grade bestest matzah that there is in the whole wide world. And I love talking about shmura matzah. And I think if you don't have shmura matzah, you drop me a line at rabbifinman.com if you're in the greater Detroit area, and we'll get you some shmura matzah for your Passover Seder. And you have to do that before Friday, of course. The second half hour of the show, we will be talking a little bit about the portion of the week, which is Tzav, which can be found in chapter 7 of the book of Leviticus. And we're going to talk about that in connection to the holiday of Passover, since this year the Shabbos is the day before Passover. It's a very unusual occurrence. We have wonderful music, some Passover music in the middle of the show. We have an exciting story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israeli troops arrested three terrorists for throwing firebombs at houses in the town of Bethel, just north of Ramallah. Two terrorists were injured during the arrest. Israel fired missiles into Syria from the Golan, destroying two Iranian military bases. In a follow-up to a story we reported last week, Turkey protested the planned Israel, Greece, and Cyprus undersea gas line. Turkey claims that the proposed undersea pipeline passes through its territorial waters in the eastern Mediterranean Sea. So either they don't want to have it there at all, or they want a piece of the action, one of the two. It hasn't been made clear. The United Arab Emirates will invest $10 billion in Israel's economy this year. The announcement comes as part of the Abraham Accords. The $10 billion represents 2.5% of Israel's gross national product. Iran blamed Israel for an explosion on an Iranian cargo ship in the Mediterranean. This follows Israel's accusation that an oil tanker from Iran spilled crude oil along Israel's beaches. And by the way, most of the beaches have been cleaned up. Yay. Not in anti-Semitic acts that we're reporting around here. I'm sure there's lots more, but we didn't get them. Nazi symbols were spray painted on a synagogue in Belarus. And a man punched a Jewish man and yelled anti-Semitic slurs outside a kosher bakery in Toronto. France said that it will return Rose Bushes Under the Trees, a Gustav Klimt landscape painting that the Nazis stole in 1938. The painting will be returned to the family of Nora Striasny, who was murdered in Auschwitz in 1942. And finally, Israeli archaeologists, Israeli archaeologists found dozens of Dead Sea Scroll fragments and biblical verses at a site in the Judean desert. They also found a basket, which they're saying is 10,000 years old, but I'm not sure how Dead Sea Scroll things from about 2,500 years got into a basket that's 10,000 years old. And they also found the skeleton of a six-year-old child. And now, finally, this one is, you got to wait. This is worth waiting for, this one. Israel will host the Flag Football World Championships in Jerusalem this December. The three-day tournament is expected to attract more than 40 teams from 30 countries competing for the world title and a spot in the World Games in 2022. And I cannot believe there are 30 countries where people actually take flag football seriously. But they say, don't yuck my yum. So go blue. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We're on live with Yossi Frimmerman, who is the director of Matzah Biz, one of the larger Shmura matzah distributors in the country, if not the world. And we're going to be talking about Shmura matzah. Passover is coming up, of course, in just a few short weeks. And we really emphasize that people should get Shmura matzah specifically. How are you today, Yossi?
I am well, Rabbi. Thank you. How are you?
Good, but thank God. Thank you for asking. Okay, so Passover. Everybody knows that there's this stuff you're supposed to eat, the unleavened bread. I get this all the time, and people come up to me and say, what's this unleavened bread stuff? So what's the deal behind the unleavened bread, which we call matzah, Yossi?
Well, matzah, we eat matzah on Passover because that was the bread that our ancestors ate when they exited Egypt. They didn't have time to let the dough rise, so it was the quickest food that they had available to them. And in order to commemorate that, we eat matzah every year at the Seder.
Cool. So, what is it? What can be matzah? What can't be matzah? I mean, if we think it's a cracker, so there's all kinds of crackers now.
Okay, so there are five grains that can be used. The preferable one is wheat, but you could also use spelt. You could also use oat, rye, and barley, I think, is the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
For people that have health issues, they would probably, health issues, I mean, that they don't have wheat tolerance. They could go with spelt. For those that can't deal with gluten, they could go with oat. But the preferred one for healthy people is wheat.
Would that be because we're going to assume that the Jews in Egypt ate wheat matzah?
I don't know. I think the preferred one, it's brought down to the code of Jewish law, that this one, we know the Kabbalah of wheat. What
meaning?
That means is, meaning that we know its source, its origin. We know that wheat has always been used forever and then some, while spelt, we're not sure if the spelt that we have today is the spelt that's talking about in the Bible, for that matter, oat as well. And, you know, with genetic engineering, we're not sure about the wheat today either, but that's a different discussion. But we do have a very, very well-documented, knowledge of wheat. We know how long it takes wheat before it begins to rise, and therefore the dough has to be from start to finish completely done in less than 18 minutes. Once you violate the 18 minutes, there's a chance, a very good chance, that it starts to rise and become chametz, which makes it invalid for Pesach.
Chametz meaning leavening. Yeah, so, okay, so now let's talk a little further about this. So what we're really concerned about is there's lots of ways to make crackers. I remember as a kid, my mother would teach me how to bake and handle around the kitchen. And I came up with this recipe for saltines. And I said, can we make saltines? And my mother just looked at me and said, you're going to go through all that effort, and you know when you get done, you're going to have a pile of saltines. I mean, it's just like, so tell us about the inns. There's different matzahs. Most people, when they associate with matzah, the vast majority of matzah, which is sold in the around the world, is the square machine matzah. So give us a little insight. What are the restrictions? How is that bacon? What makes that matzah and not just a saltine?
I'm not as familiar with machine matzah. I'm a little more familiar with the hand matzah. Mm-hmm. But what I do know a little bit about the machine matzah is that it's done quickly. The process has to be done from the time that water hits the flour. No other additives added. It has to be done within 18 minutes from start to finish. The machine, because it's a continuous process, so there is certain leniencies where they allow, where rabbis allow machine matzah to be used because it's a next batch of 18 minutes, a next batch of 18 minutes. The problem with that could be that if there's any residual or residue left from the previous 18-minute batch, you may run into a real problem of the residue from the previous batch contaminating the new batch. So, therefore, a large number of Jews prefer eating the hand matzah, especially for the two Seder nights.
Okay, let's talk about that. Go ahead. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Yossi Frimmerman from Matzah Biz, one of the major distributors of Shmura Matzah throughout the country. Tell us about Shmura Matzah, which is like super primo grade matzah, Yossi Frimmerman.
You start from the very beginning. From the time that they harvest the grain through the entire process, the grain is watched. No water is allowed you can't cut that grain on a rainy day because the water may interfere and possibly get stuck within the kernels, and later on it could cause problems. They watch that, they take that grain, they bring it to the mill, they grind it, various different fine grinds. Some are completely 100% whole wheat, during the process of grinding, they sift out certain things that doesn't make it whole, that doesn't allow it to be
so
called.
It's more like a white wheat, but it's not bleached. I'm sure they're not putting any type of thing
in
it.
No, definitely not. The same is done with spelt, the same is done with the oat. Barley and
rye
are, I don't think it's ever used for matzah.
Rye matzah would be really intense, and I don't think barley matzah would necessarily work so well. So I can understand that. Okay, so now let's give the idea. There is something called sprouted grain bread out there. I'm not going to mention names because none of them are my sponsors, but they're not really sprouted. What they do is they take the wheat and they soak it for just a couple of hours, and they say that causes a reaction with the water and the thing that it already starts the kernel to sprout, which is exactly what we don't want, even from the time of harvesting in our shmura matzah. Is that correct, Yossi Frimmerman?
I believe that's correct.
Okay, so now, shmura matzah still is, like, a lot of people heard of matzah. Shmura matzah has become more popular. How long are you involved in the matzah business?
I'm guessing 40 plus years.
40 years you're involved with matzah. How much would you say has the shmura matzah market grown in 40 years? 40 years ago was the late 1970s.
Well, back then I used to import 2 containers a year. A container contains a little over 10,000 pounds. Today, I import well over 20 containers.
Okay.
So if you could do the math.
Right there, that's 10 times. It's tenfold.
At least.
Okay, but then you also have a domestic market that you handle.
That's besides. I mean, there's some people that prefer the domestic, others prefer the imports. The imports are less expensive because labor in Israel or labor in the Ukraine. Is less than labor in America. So there's a price thing, but the American matzah, the quality certainly is there. And I must say that the imports are improving. They're improving. They're challenging the quality of the American matzah. The problem with the imports are the American matzah, you could have matzah that was baked within the past month, while the imports, you're at least 2-3 months behind because there's the shipping aspect of it. It has to get here. It takes over a month to get here. So you have to deal. You're not dealing with as fresh matzah as you are with the American.
Okay. So does that matter? I will tell you a story involving myself. Is once I was working on a college campus. And I approached a matzah distributor. It was not you. And said, listen, I have all these college students. I don't have a budget. What could you do for me? And he said, it just so happens I have a carton of matzah, which is 20 pounds, which is 5 years old. It got lost in a warehouse someplace. It was way in the back. And I said, well, is it edible? He said, you're welcome to try it. So I tried this matzah that was 5 years old, and it tasted exactly like the matzah that came out of the oven the day before yesterday. So there's nothing in matzah to go stale, because stale means that all the air left, and there's no air in matzah by definition. It never rose. So that's as
no
far
air,
as...
There's no moisture. That is true. If it's stored properly, it could last for more than a year. That's not a problem. If it's not stored properly,
it'll mold.
It'll pick up humidity. It'll mold, and it's not edible.
Right, indeed.
I will tell you, don't as a rule, don't eat 5-year old matzah.
We didn't eat it; we distributed it.
Okay.
Indeed. So let's. I'm going to talk about since people are very involved with environment and carbon footprints. Let's talk about the advantages of, say, eating an imported matzah versus eating a domestic matzah. This is going to take a whole different turn in the discussion. The reason you mentioned that the reason why that the European and the Israeli matzah, are those basically the Israel and the Ukraine are basically the only two other areas outside of the United States where they're making shmura matzah. The reason
that are exporting to America, yes.
Okay. The reason, I think, is there not a matzah bakery in Moscow? I would think
there is. It's only for
Moscow. Yeah, it's only for Russian consumption. Yeah. Okay, so are we concerned about, say, are the people who are working in these matzah bakeries in Israel and in the Ukraine, are they making a living wage? Are they being treated properly? A matzah bakery could get very hot because of the ovens, and it could really turn into a sweatshop. as opposed to say, maybe we really should be buying the American stuff. First of all, buy American, buy USA, and the workers there are receiving a, they get a living wage. Would you like to comment on that, please, Yossi Frimmerman?
The workers in all of these bakeries are getting a very living wage. If they don't get a proper wage, the workers are skilled in certain things that they do, they'll just go to another bakery. The bakeries here in America are now bringing in people from Israel and from the Ukraine because American labor, they really don't want to do this type of work. It's manual, it's physical manual labor. At the end of the day, you really need to take a major break, relax, go to sleep, and the next morning you're on your feet for 8, 9, 10 hours, constantly working with your hands, either rolling out the matzo or putting the matzos into the oven, or putting the holes in the matzo. It's quite difficult. So the workers are skilled and they're in demand. If they're not treated well at the Israeli bakeries or at the bakery in the Ukraine, they'll just go elsewhere. It's not. It's as simple as that. They are paid properly. As a matter of fact, the biggest Jewish employer in the Ukraine, the city of Dnepropetrovsk, is the matzah bakery. And
very
they employ, I don't know, maybe 100, 150 people. And that community has a tremendous advantage at the bakeries there because they have employment for the people, maybe even more than 150 people.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so they have employment for them, and you know, through a backdoor way, you're kind of supporting that community there.
Indeed.
By buying Ukraine.
Indeed. Okay. Now, so how many matzah bakeries, shmura matzah bakeries, are there in the United States currently?
Well, they're all in the New York in the New York area. Let me try to mentally.
Count on your fingers.
Yes.
You count on it, because I'm going to say that 40 years ago when I first started eating shmura matzah, I think there were maybe 4.
6, 7, 8, 9. Right off the top of my head, I know that there were 10.
Okay, so in 40 years, it's gone from 4 bakeries. It was the one in Albany, and then the Sadmer had one, and the Popover had one, and there was one in Borough Park 40 years ago. And now there are 10. So
at least 10.
Okay.
That's off the top of my head.
So now, is that the increase that we've gone from, like you say, you imported 2 containers 40 years ago, now it's 20 containers. There were 4 bakeries, now there are 10. Is the growth through attrition, meaning families, this is like, we're now talking, in 40 years, you're talking 3 generations of people who are now eating matzah, or is it marketing and matzah is being distributed in a further radius? Yossi Frimmerman.
Firstly, there's just natural growth. I mean, families, there are more families that want to have the shmura matzah, at least for the 2 nights of the Seder. There are more people like that. The families are bigger. I mean, I am already, my parents, now my generation, my children, my grandchildren. So right away, when I was a kid, we used to buy 3-4 pounds. That little group right now buys 100 pounds. And I'm sure that's the way it is with many hundreds and thousands of families. What I think a very large percentage of growth comes from outreach organizations such as Chabad, who have brought an awareness of shmura matzah to the public. I mean, you could walk into any supermarket in the within a Jewish in a Jewish clientele area, and you got people they can't even pronounce the word shmura matzah, but they do come in and they ask for where are those round matzah? I need a box for the Seder, And that awareness is done, and I think that's where most of the growth is. That awareness is done because people are getting closer and closer to their roots, and as a result of it, the demand is there.
Wonderful. What's, would you say, some of the more remote places where you distribute Tumats, Yossi Frimmerman? Something that if you heard that they were getting matzah, my eyebrow would go, really? Are you sending it any to the Antarctica or the Arctic Circle?
Well, if I had a way of getting it there, and I know that it would get there properly and on time, I do send matzahs to Alaska. Mm-hmm. I do send matzahs to Hawaii. Argentina is Brazil, all of South America, Chile, Paraguay, Uruguay, Bolivia, all of those South American countries. I sell as far as Australia, but that's not surprising because Australia has a very large
Jewish community.
Very large Jewish community. Let's see. I mean, Canada, all the way. All the way, from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure places like Iceland, which now has a Jewish community, and
I'm sure that they get, but they don't get from me. I mean, the geography doesn't lend itself for me to distribute to Iceland, bring it to America, send it back to.
They probably go straight from the Ukraine. I would think.
I would imagine.
Anyway, okay, this is wonderful. And I want to thank you so much. Our guest today has been Yossi Frimmerman from Matzah Biz, one of the country's largest shmura matzah distributors. If you are interested in shmura matzah, Herschel Femin, yours truly actually does distribute it in the greater Detroit area. If you're listening online or looking at us at Facebook or anything like that, I'm sorry, I don't mail it. You'll have to contact your local distributor. And we do have American whole wheat and Ukrainian whole wheat and spelt and gluten-free oat. Oh, that was one of the questions I did want to ask you about. If you needed to have a gluten grain, how does gluten-free oat work? Yeah, I see.
Well, I'm not into the manufacturing of it, but there's a certain process that's used, which I'm not a farmer. I don't know how they take the gluten out of the oat, but that grain seems to lend itself to being gluten free. I know we're certified. We're certified by the.
It's got the GF on it.
The GF, and I think our hand Shmormas. I saw the report a couple of days ago. There's no detectables. That less than one part per million of gluten.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It was just not detectable. So I guess the farmer did a good job, and the bakery did a good job to make sure that they didn't contaminate it.
Wonderful.
Just don't forget it's the same bakery that does the wheat and does the oats. So it could be a real problem.
To
make sure there's no cross-contamination.
That's awesome. Okay, that is going to wrap it up for us. And we want to thank you so much for taking the time, and continued success, Yossi Frimmerman.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to wish you and all of your listeners a kosher and a happy Passover and next year in Jerusalem.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's going to do it. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Why go anywhere else when you can go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Just to let you know that the One Stop is now called Grove. They've redone the place. It's a really beautiful place to shop. And they have all your Passover needs for your One Stop Grove shopping. Up next, for your listening pleasure, this is brand spanking new. And I'm not sure why we call it spanking new. Oh, I think I know. It must be because something to do with a baby being born and they used to patch its bottom when they came out. But anyway, so this is Yishai Reboy, this song, he's getting into things. This is called Siba HaSibot, that the Almighty is called the cause of all causes.
Tashiv bi et haruach, torid mimeni et hagesha, haya li yom zman lanu. גלתי קצת בעצם ובמרחב הפתוח רואים באופק את השמש אין ספק אני בטוח בסוף עוד תתבהר הדרך רק פתח לנו שערי אמונה שערי הבנה שאין לנו מלך אלא אתה סיבת הסיבות, עילת העילות, נורת העילות ורק לך נאה להודות על כל הימים וכל הלילות יצאנו מתיבת הנוח ציוט אחת לפדות את הסירי הכוח ולכו דהרשת גם לקבל את השחור לבן עם כל צבעי הקשת משנה אבות פרק ג' חביב אדם שנברא בצלם רפתח לנו שערי החלה, שערי התחלה, כי אין לנו מלך, אלא אתה, סיבת הסיבות, עילת העילות, נורת העילות, ורק לך נאה להודות, על כל הימים וכל הלילות, רק אתה, סיבת הסיבות, עילת העילות,
of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's MI for Michigan, KO for kosher, and SUP for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Up next is a klezmer song. The group is called Teku. They're actually Michigan-based. They are a creative music ensemble led by John Harlow on piano and Josh Harlow on piano and John Taylor on drums. And they do all kinds of different types of melodies. This is a traditional Sephardic Passover melody called Adir Yivna Rigalenu. Let's listen.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. 9800.
Schulfinman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We've got time for one more song. This coming up is Mendel Emmer. This is again called, this is a Niggun, this is place, this is called Niggun Gaguim, which means a heartfelt song. It has no words, so it's easier once you catch the tune to hum along. So let's listen.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Hey, Schulfinman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Tzav. It can be found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 7 and following. It is also, this Shabbos is the day before Passover, which is known as Erev Pesach. Generally, one is not allowed to do anything on Shabbos for the sake of the week. And that would be true, for example, with preparing on Shabbos for your Passover Seder. So you can't do anything while it's still Shabbos, till the sun has gone down. Until it's down, so it would be like setting up the Seder plate or even setting the table,
for sure not to cook or anything like that. So you can't prepare anything while it's still Shabbos. But the rule is that the day before the holiday, you're supposed to prepare for the holiday. So we have a conundrum. You can't prepare, but you have to prepare. Ah, no problem. You have to prepare spiritually. And how are we going to prepare spiritually? Well, we're going to take a look at the Parsha. The portion's name is Tzav, that Aaron was commanded in the performance of the duties of the sanctuary. And Rashi comments, Ein Tzav Ela Lazaris, that the word Tzav only means to instill a sense of speed and urgency. When we say, I command you, that means it's got to get done right now, and you better do it really now, really soon. That's the way the portion starts. And you look, you'll see, what's the whole holiday of Passover about? Matzah is baked. It has to be baked in less than 18 minutes from the time that the water hits the flour. It has to be out of the oven in less than 18 minutes. And in a proper matzah bakery, it's usually more like 6 or 7 by the time that, from the time that the water hits the flour until the matzah is out of the bakery, out of the oven, because we do not want to let any of the matzahs become chametz. Now, the word matzah, you see, in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew, they don't use the vowels. The vowels are little dots that are put onto the words when kids are learning how to read. But once you get it, so since it's a totally phonetic language, you just look at the word and you know how it's supposed to be pronounced. There are some bits of wiggle room a little bit, and one of them actually is with the word matzahs, which means matzah, because the word matzahs and the word mitzvahs is spelled exactly the same. And if you had the two words next to each other out of context, you wouldn't know which one's matzahs and which one's mitzvahs. So you can make a rabbinic pun that stipulates, don't let your mitzvahs become chametz. Perform if you've got something good to do, do it with speed and alacrity. Speaking of speed and alacrity, we got to take a quick commercial break. We got the Hasidic story coming up. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com. You'll find a quick way to contact me. If you have any question, comment, criticism, inquiry, whatever it happens to be, just go right there to rabbifinman.com. You'll also find archived editions of the show, archived editions of other way in which we present Judaism in an informative and entertaining way, and the very important donations page. March is membership month, because we've been on air. We started on March 4th, 1996. It's 25 years that we are on the air. So if you were to contribute $36 or more for the Jewish Hour, you become a member, and we'll send you. Traditionally, we've been sending Jewish CDs to people who are members. So, but if you want a CD or you want something else, let me know. We have books we can give away also, and we've got lots of things. You know, little incentives, just kind of get in touch with me at rabbifinman.com and we'll work on your incentive. And maybe you don't need an incentive. Don't like doing internet giving, understood? Send your donation, any amount, to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. I have a correction to make from a show from 2 weeks ago when we interviewed the Hazon about the Shemitah Prize that they're offering for artwork and other things like that. And you can go to Hazon and then type in the word Shemitah, S-H-M-I-T-A. I asked him, was there a different division for younger people under 18? And he said, no. And as it is, there is a separate division with a separate prize. Now, let's get to the Hasidic story. This one actually happened like last week. Okay, I heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody. We'll give a preface. The Lubavitcher Rebbe passed away in 1994 and is buried in Queens. And there's a little structure which is buried, which has been erected around his grave, which is called the Ohel, which means tent, but it's the opposite of a tent because it doesn't have a roof. And this facilitates that everybody can go there. I'm not going to get into the technicals right now. People go there to pray to God for blessings. And there have been numerous stories where people have gotten their answers to the requests. And the expression is, the Rebbe will find a way for the Almighty to direct his blessing to you. So here's the story. So there's a they have a whole center outside in the, of the graveyard. And then in the center, of course, there's an information booth and people ask this guy questions. And there's just somebody sitting, there's a volunteer. So there's a group of students from a non-Lubavitcher educational institution known as the yeshiva. And they had heard this idea of the Rebbe will find a way. And they were like, sort of like interrogating this guy. How can we you say that this rabbi who's been, who passed away almost 30 years ago, is going to find a way to answer people's blessings? So he says, listen, normally I wouldn't be able to answer your question because I just sit here and I tell people, you know, the cookies are over there and this is the papers over there and you light a candle this way and you write the thing this way. But today I actually have an answer for you. He said, you see that woman and that man over there? Let me tell you what happened. It's usually people don't tell me what they're coming for because it's a very personal thing. I have a problem. I don't want you to know about it. So this woman comes up to me and she says, I have a son. I want him to go to yeshiva. I can't afford it. I tried to raise money and I came up very much short. And people told me I should pray at the Lubavitcher Rebbe's grave. So here I am. What do I do? So I instructed her how to write the letter and what to do over there. You say some psalms and you make the request. You tear up the piece of paper. You put it on the grave. And okay, so she did that and she came out and she said, now what? And I said, you just wait. I don't know. She says, if you want to have a refreshment, they have this famous, my kids know them as Ohel cookies. They have these really delicious cookies that they have over there. And tea and everybody is, they hang out over there for a little bit. So shortly thereafter, you see, there's a man standing next to her. He came out of the aisle and he said, I had a problem. And it occurred to me that I have extra funds. And those extra funds, I would like to give away to charity. And he asks me out of the blue, do I know anybody who happens to need charity? So I pointed to the woman standing over by the cookies and said, go talk to her. And you see right now, he's writing her a check. So you see, the Rebbe found a way to answer three people. He answered this woman that she needed help with funds for her son to get to yeshiva. He answered this man, to whom should he give his charity? And he answered you guys, how does the Rebbe find a way? If you want to tell me, I'm going to bring up the music behind me. That's going to do it. You know, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have an awesome Passover Saturday night, Sunday night. It goes on for 8 days after that. Happy crumb crunching. If you need Shmura Matzah, drop me a line at rabbifinman.com. And we'll see you next week. Take care. Gesuchtanayim Yerushalayim, dus is a land for mir und dir. Dus land is dein land, dus land is mein land, von California bis Ellis Island, von die Größe Osres bis die Breite Yamen.